Today on Maine Calling, there's nothing like going to the fair. The sights and sounds and smells hit you the moment you enter the fair. It's sensory overload in a good way. From Ferris wheels to fireworks, sheep herding to pig scrambling, and the scent of fresh baked pies mixed with a hint of manure in the air. Today we celebrate the rich heritage and variety of Maine's agricultural fairs. I'm Cindy Hahn. Fairs have been around since the 1800s in Maine as a way to learn about farming methods and to show livestock and crops. Now, every year, about 24 fairs in communities across the state feature everything from harness racing to magic shows to midway games. But farm animals, food, and fun are central to all fairs. We'll find out what's on tap this season and why fairs are also a great place to learn something new. Maine Calling is coming right up.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to island and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. There is a certain thrill that comes the moment you arrive at the fair. There is so much to see and do and eat. And it's even more of a thrill because the fair only comes around once a year. Today, we'll learn why Maine's agricultural fairs hold such a special place in the state's history and culture. And we'll hear about some of the don't miss offerings at fairs all across the state. My guests are Michelle Webb, Director of Agricultural Resource Development at the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Rachel Andrews-Damon handles publicity and advertising at the Freiburg Fair. And April Boucher is Director of the Common Ground Country Fair for the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, or MOFGA. We invite you to join the conversation. Tell us about the fair in your community. Have you been going to it your whole life? What's your favorite thing to do? Email us at talk@mainepublic.org. You can post a comment on social media, or you can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. And just a reminder that our Maine Calling phone number is different than the one for the Maine Public fundraising drive going on right now. The Maine Calling number again, 1-800-399-3566. Michelle, I'll start with you. The fairs that we know of today are very elaborate. We've got demolition derbies and food trucks and rides and all of that. But that's not how it all started way back in the 1800s. Tell us a little bit about those first fairs and what they were like.
Agriculture and fairs are deeply tied together, important part of Maine's history and culture. Many of the fairs did start before Maine even became a state, so back in the 1800s. Often those fairs were opportunities to exhibit and sell livestock, meet and share food, and how the season went. And some of those fairs traveled around communities, and in the mid-1800s started really sticking to certain towns and the fairs that we know now. Freiburg Fair started in 1851, Skowhegan in 1818, and the Piscataquis Valley Fair in 1840s. Those are just some of the richness of ag fairs in our history.
Yeah, I read that the Cumberland County Fair started and charged people maybe 10 cents admission or something like that. And it was really just a group of farmers getting together to compare their wares and trade tips. And then the women were cooking and showing off what they could make. And I guess food has been such a big part of that gathering from the start.
Absolutely. The pie contests and all of the fair foods that we know now were often rooted in those first fairs. And super excited to share that Fields Blueberries here in Maine was just recognized by Food Network as the best fair food in Maine. And so you can see them at fairs coming up this year still.
Wow, really? Yes, food is central. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But tell us a little bit now what it looks like today. How many fairs are there around the state, and the season's in full swing? When does it start? When does it finish?
Yeah, so there are 25 licensed agricultural fairs in Maine. Season started in June and ends with Freiburg Fair, wrapping up the season in October. We're halfway through fair season right now.
Wonderful. And speaking of the Freiburg Fair, Rachel, that's known as the big one, the largest fair in Maine. And it's typically the last one. As Michelle said, it's the grand finale of the season. But so it also started back in the 1800s as a little gathering of farmers, right?
It did, 1851. And this is our 175th fair this year. So we're always excited. Freiburg Fair is part of every family's bloodline here in our area. I've been working at the fair myself since I was 12, when I started with my brother and we were the pagers. So we had a long line of 100 people. So-and-so go to the Ferris wheel, meet your mother at the car. And then cell phones put us right out of business. So so we had to find other jobs at the fair. Those are not our real jobs, of course, but it's something that we do spend a lot of time on. And there are many, many families in Freiburg and around these parts that are involved in Freiburg Fair. And that is the foundation of what we feel is an absolutely wonderful annual event.
I'm just curious, when you had, you were a pager, you literally carried a little, like a doctor pager to tell people
no,
where
actually,
to go?
No, actually, we had a PA system, you know, back then. And this was in the 60s, 70s. And so people would just line up and then, you know, speak to us and say, you know, I've lost my mother and or whatever. And she's never go to the car or meet us at the Ferris wheel or at the water wheel or whatever was convenient.
Well, that's a pretty important job. Hopefully not too many lost kids and mothers there. But now, what sets the Freiburg Fair apart, other than the sheer size and it lasts 8 whole days, so that magnitude, but what else is special that people can see and do there?
Well, this is our first year going to 9 days. So it's a lot more opportunity this year. But I think the thing that is best about Freiburg Fairs are agriculture. And my personal favorite are the draft horses. When you see an 8-horse hitch coming into the infield and you can witness the handlers, the owners, the people who love the horses and how they work together, it really is a very emotional thing. And we so appreciate these folks who've come back to the fair for decades. And it's their children's children that are there now. And the animals and the people who raise them are just salt of the earth, literally. They're the people that keep everything going for all of us. And so the fair is very much a showcase of the best things in life. And it's very much a sensory fair. The smells, the sounds, the feels, the food, the people that you see, and no one's in a really big hurry. So everybody gets to visit, and it's just, now it's very contrary to everyday life, I feel.
And you mentioned the best of stuff, and I know that the Maine Blue Ribbon Classic is a big element. Can you tell us what that means?
Sure, that's kind of like our tagline, but it was a tagline before taglines were even cool. So we give out a lot of blue ribbons. That's our first place prize for anything. We have competitions, so many of them. In our Agricultural Exhibition Center, it's for canning, jarring foods, preserving foods, fresh vegetables that you picked, photography, arts, quilting, crocheting. But then we also have horse pulling, oxen pulling. We have mechanical pulls, which refers to tractor and truck pulling. We have, you know, our grand champion in every single breed of cow. We just have blue ribbons in everything. So that's where the blue ribbon comes from at Freiburg Fair. And it's fairly elaborate. And I believe that the beginnings of the fair were all about bragging rights, and the blue ribbon totally represents the best of bragging rights.
That's wonderful. Let's switch over to you, April. The Common Ground Country Fair started as a harvest celebration back in 1977. Can you describe why the mission and the feel of the fair is different than other agricultural fairs in Maine? It is known as the earthy, crunchy one.
Too true. So really the impetus for the fair was a way to, you know, celebrate the harvest, come together as a community, and it really filled a void. Many people who do work in agriculture spend many of their hours and even gardening hours out on the farm, out in their gardens. So it was a great time to come together, see people, share, and celebrate each other. And it was a way to like get together with like-minded people, you know, who are also seeking sustainable ways of living and growing, and kind of that camaraderie piece.
Really, yeah, the back to the land feel of Maine. Yeah. Go ahead.
And it was also a way, the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association started 5 years before that. And it was a way not only for us to get together and celebrate, for it also to generate some funds to help us keep the organic movement going in Maine through MOFCA. So it was a great way to get some of that right livelihood funds and move forward. So, and we couldn't do it without our volunteers. So it was a great big volunteer effort from the community. And there's all kinds of great stories about people sleeping in the back of their trucks and in their booths, but just really feeling so warm and feeling that they're really doing something important for stewarding the environment for their communities and for the future.
And it's in Unity now, but it wasn't, it didn't start there, right?
Yes, we started in Litchfield for 2 years. They expected 2,000 and we got 10,000. And
Huh.
so we quickly kind of outgrew Litchfield a little bit. And then we went to Windsor for many years. And then in 1998, we had our first fair in our permanent fairgrounds in Unity.
Well, anyone who's been there knows there are a lot of things you will see at the Common Ground Country Fair that are not at other fairs. So, do you want to highlight some examples of what you might learn or see there?
Absolutely. We have working livestock demonstrations, so you can actually see draft horses and oxen doing farm work. We are the only fair in Maine that has a working woodlot attached, so you can actually learn about stewarding your forest, which is an important part for many farms. We're also adding a new trail to really highlight our traditionally grown chestnuts that we have on the fairgrounds. All of our food is also made with organic and locally grown Maine ingredients. So the fair food at the Common Ground Country Fair is delicious and like any other that you'll find here in the state or even in the country.
A little more healthful than at some of the other fairs. And talk about the kids stuff is also a little different, right? You've got the kids sliding down the hill on the cardboard and, you know, again, a little bit more back to the old ways type things.
Absolutely. They say our children's area is really a fair unto itself. And there's, the hay jump, there's a lot of hands-on activities. We also have the children's woods where kids can kind of play in the woods, supervised, of course. They can cook bread on a stick and just a lot of arts and crafts. And yeah, it's pure, glorious organized chaos in the children's area. And I'm so incredibly thankful for the volunteers who put it together and create all these amazing activities because families will be in there all day. When we have 50 acres, that's where they'll be just having the most fantastic day.
That's wonderful. And Michelle, as we've heard, the Freiburg Fair and the Common Ground Fair alone are huge draws for people within Maine and also coming from out of state. So when you consider all the other fairs as well. How big a deal are fairs for Maine's economy? Do you have numbers or just a sense of how many people attend them and what that means for the state?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but when we were talking about the history of just fairs or community hubs, and that's still very much true, but you're right. It brings in tourists and visitors that come year after year to go to the same fair or to add a fair to their bucket list to experience. And it really does. The fairs all support local small businesses, restaurants, hotels, and the tourism industry. Also, a very important market channel for our farms and food producers as well.
Right. Okay. And I'm going to go back to you, Rachel, just because as we're talking about the scope of fairs like Freiburg Fair, can you just give some advice to visitors as far as how to tackle a fair? I know from experience, if you try to do too much in one day, it's exhausting. So do you have just visitor experience tips?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the best thing is to come early and stay late. We have a ton of great resting spots, and I think one of the most magnificent things at Freiburg Fair is the people watching. And enough people go by, and you'll definitely see people that you know. Just we have enhanced our traffic because our rural roads, Route 5 that we're on, is not going to be rebuilt anytime soon. So we have patterns now where if you park on the north end of Freiburg Fair, you go out the north end, and the same on the south end. So then you might have to just go around a little bit, but at least you're moving. And that's just during our crunch times. And we've also had to rearrange a couple of things inside the fair. So that has made traffic a lot better. And we started that a couple of years ago, so it's really working well. But I think the best thing about to go to the fair is get there early, go get your donut, your breakfast sandwich, your coffee, and just start milling around. And I always say you're not going to put on any weight if you just eat and walk at the same time. And so just get your food, go down to the cow barns, go in and pat some goats, and you'll feel yourself just feeling so much better about life and everything else. And get over to the draft horses, go pat some cows, talk to some farmers, watch them work, and your life will be better. I can almost guarantee
I love that. Work off that donut on the way to the cows. Well, we have more to talk about, April. I'm going to ask you also about the ins and outs of visiting the Common Ground Country Fair too, but we are going to take a quick break. This is Maine Calling. We will be back soon.
This is Maine Public Radio, and you are listening to our summer fundraiser. My name is Maddie Smith. I'm a reporter on the news team here. I'm here with my colleague, Alfred. And we are here to talk to you about supporting your local, trusted, independent news station. You're listening into Maine Calling, one of my personal favorite programs here at Maine Public Radio. And speaking of calling, why don't you give us a call and support Maine Public? Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475. Or visit us at mainpublic.org. Support the programming that you're listening to right now.
And good morning. Today we are offering special vouchers for Bumper Crop Farmers Market, vouchers to all people who sign up to become an Evergreen Friend or increase their monthly sustaining donation. At Maine Public, we love our Evergreen Friends. These are the folks that sign up to give on a recurring monthly basis. They know that their donation is secured and taken care of for each month of the year. And as a special benefit, today only, you will get additional vouchers towards our Maine farmers markets. Everyone who lives in Maine knows that we have great farmers markets and so many different places across the state: Rockland, Skowhegan, Bangor, Waterville, many other places. So give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 and you can secure your donation there. In addition, if you become an Evergreen Friend today, we are also offering sea bags. Can you tell us a little about those?
Happy to tell you about the sea bags. So these sea bags, I'm looking at them right now. They're beautiful. They're featuring exclusive art by a Maine artist, Eric Hopkins. It's this beautiful coastal watercolor. Looks, it's so classically Maine. We're offering it in two sizes for the first time. The medium bag would be at the $50 a month level, or the large bag at the $60 a month level. It's absolutely beautiful. It's so worth it. My mom has already called me being like, get me one of those sea bags. And I said, Mom, donate. It's the time to donate. So if you want your bag, give us a call at 1-800-866-1475. Ask our wonderful volunteers in the Portland studio what they think of the bags. They'll tell you if they're beautiful. Or visit us at mainpublic.org. And yeah, again, give us a call, 1-800-866-1475.
Now, as you know, we have had federal funding for public radio, public broadcasting eliminated in this country. And so now more than ever, we are counting on the listeners and the viewers and the good people of Maine to support Maine Public and all of its mission, bringing the journalism and news, emergency information all across the state. We are looking to continue to provide this wonderful service that you love, and we will do it, and we are continuing to do so, and it's with your support. So give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 or go online at mainpublic.org to do so.
Yeah, if you're listening now, it's because you love and support and care about your community radio station. Support us and support the work that we do here by giving us a call at 1-800-866-1475 or visit us at mainpublic.org. We appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Maine's agricultural fair combine entertainment, education, history, and wonder all in one place. And they've been playing an important role in the state's economy and culture since the 1800s. Joining me today are Rachel Andrews Damon with the Freiburg Fair, April Boucher with the Common Ground Country Fair, and Michelle Webb with the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Share your comments and questions. Is your family involved with a fair? What's your favorite memory from going to the fair as a kid? Email talk@mainpublic.org. You can comment on Facebook or Instagram. You can also give us a call, 1-800 800-399-3566. That is 800-399-3566. April, I did say I wanted to get back to you because we were talking a little bit about getting to the fair, and the Common Ground Country Fair is a little notorious for being tough to get to if you're thinking you can just drive up and park. So, so many people and long distances to walk and all of that, but you have really good workarounds. So I wanted you to share those with us.
Absolutely. And similar to Freiburg, we are in a beautiful rural setting, but we also have beautiful rural roads that really help lead everyone to the fair. So if folks are looking for the minimal traffic, I would definitely encourage folks to come early. The fair opens at 9 o'clock, so being there around 9 or 10 would be helpful. Also prepping a little bit too, if you, just in case, if you do end up being in the car a little bit, snacks, water, your favorite podcast, MPPN on the radio, just making sure that it's also part of the experience and you enjoy getting to the fair. We do our best to get people off the roads as quickly and safely as possible. And as a result, all of our parking is free, just really to aid that, getting people quickly off the roads. We also ask that you can bring also a refillable water bottle. We have clean, delicious water throughout the fairgrounds ready for you to use. We want you to stay hydrated and for you and your family to enjoy the day. You're welcome to bring food if you want, but we have over 43 different food vendors of a range of cuisines and exciting things, which I'm sure we'll get to more of. You can also do a picnic if you want. We have 2 organic farmers markets, one at each gate, so you can get local organic cheese, vegetables, all kinds of wonderful things to graze on. So you can also have a picnic on the commons, which is a wonderful green space that we have that people gather to talk and just rest for the day.
So. Well, speaking of making an adventure of it, though, what about the train? That's another really fun addition to just getting there.
Absolutely. We're very thankful to work with the Belfast and Moosehead Lake Radio Railroad, and they have 2 trains, one coming from Unity and one coming from Thorndike. You can park at either train station, and then you can ride the train for a small fee. And you can pretty much ride the train all day. So I hope you come to the fair, but you can also just hang out on the train and have a blast.
Yeah, I did that, and it really added to the day, so I love that you brought that up. Let's go now to someone calling in on the line. It's Dr. Christy Ouellette. She's with Maine's 4-H State Program Leadership Team. She's Professor of 4-H Youth Development with University of Maine Cooperative Extension. Hi, Christy. Thanks for giving us a call.
Good afternoon.
So I know that young people in 4-H are very involved with Maine's fairs, sometimes raising animals to show, but that's just part of it, right? Tell us about how 4-H is integrated with the fairs.
Absolutely. So all over the state of Maine, you have young people that are actively engaging in projects. And projects are areas that kids are really interested in. And in 4-H, we call it their sparks. It makes them really excited. They lose track doing it. And throughout the fair season, you can see their sparks on display. In their exhibit halls, you might see projects such as woodworking, Lego robotics, art, sewing, but also in some of our local fairs, you might have the opportunity to hear demonstrations or even have kids present to you about what they're interested in. So 4-H is, yes, the animal piece is so super important, and that's what people typically think about when they think about 4-H at the fair, but we do want to encourage folks to check out the exhibit halls and be able to see all of their work on display.
Yeah, and I think that because fairs are associated with fun these days, the educational part sometimes gets overlooked, but you just mentioned that. And I guess University of Maine is very connected with the agricultural fairs.
Yeah, absolutely. So 4-H is the youth development program for the University of Maine. So Cooperative Extension, we are in every single county all over the state, runs the 4-H programming for local young people. We serve about 15,000 kids in Maine, and young people can participate in 4-H between the ages of 5 to 18.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for calling in. That was Professor Christy Ouellette. She's with UMaine Cooperative Extension, and she's a leader in 4-H youth development. Let's see. We have an email from Claire saying, I believe that state fairs were originally promoted by the state for or federal government to promote up-to-date agricultural and hygiene practices. She wanted us to ask if any of you know about that. Michelle, the hygiene part of it?
So if you've got people traveling from fair to fair, just learning about washing your hands, there's a way, the community engagement piece, gathering people, and, you know, the latest, you were talking 1800s when fair started. So learning about germs and hand washing and sanitation practices, can definitely see that part of the historical fair experience, but still talking about learning opportunities, still very important now too, to, yes, absolutely come pet the goat that Rachel was mentioning, but wash your hands before you try the delicious cheese at your next stop and those sorts of things. So still an important learning resource for folks.
Great. This is an email from Scott. He says, you just missed out on the Union Fair that wrapped up this past weekend, but the Matthews Museum of Maine Heritage on the fairground remains open through the end of August, Wednesday through Saturday afternoons. Home of the largest Moxie collection on public display, Union is the birthplace of Moxie's inventor. Maine's fairs are required to have a museum of some sort, and most only open theirs during fair week. I didn't know that they were actually required to have a museum of some sort or historic display. Michelle, do you know?
Agricultural displays and that sharing of Maine history is an important part of ag fairs too. So that appears in various ways at each fair. Each fair does that a little bit differently, but absolutely come and learn about Maine history at the fairs through displays and museums and hands-on learning.
What does that look like, Rachel, at the Freiburg Fair as far as learning about history or the community?
Yeah, we have two museums. We have our farm museum, which is just the greatest. And we have our history hall, which is mostly about the history of the fair. But in our farm museum, we have folks doing demonstrations on how things used to be. And we have Loretta's Kitchen. She's making a lot of things on an old wood stove. We have people building with wood. We have a guy making brooms. And we have displays all over the place of equipment, agricultural equipment, old wagons and that kind of thing, plows and so on and so forth. It is a great place to spend the day is at the Farm Museum. Very yeah. enjoyable.
Wonderful. April, your turn. What kind of historic or educational aspects do people, can they look for at the Common Ground Country Fair?
Absolutely. So many of historical and even traditional indigenous ways are so important to how we do sustainable and organic agriculture and sustainable living today. So I talked a little bit about the draft horse and oxen, you know, farming with them. So which is definitely, you know, less fossil fuels, more replenishing the land. So it's a great way to kind of learn about the history and kind of, you know, what improvements have we made, what changes have we made? And in many cases, not many changes at all. We also have the DIY home hacks area, which is where you can learn skills, many skills that have been persisting for many years. And I'm also really thankful to say that some of our original or very close to the beginning fair speakers, such as, you know, Will Bonzel, Elliot Coleman, all of these wonderful people who've really lived and learned, you know, from those who came before, also still talk at the fair. And then we have the Wabanaki Arts Tent. And you can see traditional basket making, and they'll also have presentations and talks about traditional foodways and traditional skills also.
Okay, let's go to Sally calling in from Bridgeton. Hi, Sally.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
Hello. Oh, yeah. I was sad to see that you still have a pig scramble going on. It saddens me greatly because it basically teaches kids to disrespect animals. Pigs, the kids might enjoy it, of course. The pigs do not. It's just a torturous for them, and I really would like to see that end.
Okay, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that, Sally. So, Rachel, would you be willing to talk to us about, first of all, what a pig scramble is for someone who hasn't seen it?
Sure. It's been very part of the tradition of a lot of agricultural fairs. And so you put 10 small pigs into a ring with 12 kids. So 10 kids catch a pig and two do not. And they can either raise it or sell it back to the farmers to be raised. I know it is a delicate topic for some folks. And we'll see how evolution goes. Mm-hmm. But for right now, it's a very much a part of what we do.
Yeah, I did notice that a lot of the fairs around the state do still have a pig scramble as part of it. And like the Cumberland Fair again has that as their concluding activity. Michelle, this does go back to the 1800s as well, right? I mean, it's one of those things that was one of the early activities at the fair.
Yeah, early activities, and it's still present in some of our fairs, but not all. Lots of other great competitions to see too, that aren't the scramble nature. So seeing those pulling contests and seeing youth and 4-H working their goats and their calves and things, there's other competitions that happen at the fairs as well.
Right. Okay. And I wanted to hear from you in a little bit about what some of the other fairs that we haven't talked about. But on the line with us now is Rusty Weymouth. He's president of the Piscataquis Valley Fair, and he is joining us today. Maine has some huge fairs, Rusty, but then there are the smaller ones like yours. Talk about what some of the history is of the fair there in your area.
We've been a fair, well over a century. I really don't know the exact number. It's like 150, 60 years. We're a small fair, Piscataquis Valley, in Dover, Foxcroft. And we're an older fair. We do a lot with animals. We do the, horse pull, oxen pull, dairy shows, beef shows. And one of our more popular is the pig scramble. And, it draws in a lot of people.
And do you hear some people saying, "Ah, oh, maybe you shouldn't do that anymore?" What's the response to that?
Very, very few,
Okay.
because we're a rural community, and people around animals. And
Right.
my kids, when they were younger, they participated. Sometimes they caught a pig, sometimes they didn't. It's all a part of life. So, and that's what living on a farm will teach you.
And has your family been involved with the fair for a long time?
Very much so. I've been involved with the Piscataquis Valley Fair for, oh, I don't know, 40, 45 years. I used to go to the fairs with my parents. We had a dairy farm. We showed cattle at the fair. So I was showing cattle at Bangor Fair when I was like 7, 8 years old.
Wow. And do you have any favorite events or activities that are happening either from before or they're still happening now?
Had to pick a favorite, I gravitated toward more towards the motorized, the tractor pulling and whatnot, which I did for years. And we brought that to Dover Foxcroft a number of years ago, and we do the tractor pulls, the pickup pulls, the garden tractor pulls. We even do pedal tractor pulls for kids. And you want to see a kid's eyes light up there. You want to hand them a ribbon or a trophy, and you can take the ribbon to the ice cream shack, and we'll give you an ice cream for participating.
That's a good incentive. That's great. And anything else you want to highlight about that might be new this year for the fair?
Well, I don't know if we get too much that's new, but we are very big in the mechanical, as I say. Thursday night we'll do a figure eight race, which is just what it is. You do a figure eight with cars, and whoever can do the most laps in a appointed amount of time is the winner. Come Friday night, we have what we call a tough truck event, a favorite of the public, and that's basically pickup trucks running an obstacle course. It's a timed event. Saturday, all day pulling, starts with tractors and ends with pickups. Sunday, we go back to pulling again with a doodlebug draw. There's very few fairs that still do a doodlebug draw, which a doodlebug is a cut down old truck, and they try to see who can pull the most with it. That same time, we're doing the garden tractor pulls, and we do a demolition derby for Power Wheels cars. Now, that's interesting to watch.
Wow, a lot going on there. And I know your slogan is Down Home Country Fair, but you've got plenty happening there. So thank you for calling. Rusty Weymouth is with the Piscataquis Valley Fair that is happening August 21st to 24th in Dover, Foxcroft. We are taking, excuse me, we're taking another break. This is Maine Calling, and we will be back soon.
And we're taking a short break here from Maine Calling to let you know that we are here standing by, hoping to hear a call from you with your donation, 1-800-866-1475. I'm Alfred, the transmission manager, joined by Maddie, one of our reporters here in the Portland office. And we are so excited to hear from all of the various folks around this state who have been calling in and supporting. We've been having a tremendous outpouring of support for Maine Public in the heels of the funding rescission. And it has been so good to know that we are so supported and our mission for what we do in the state is encouraged.
Yeah, no, we've had some great support, but we know some of you listening haven't called just yet, and this is your time. Give us a call, 1-800-866-1475. We have lovely volunteers here in the Portland studio who want to answer your call and hear from you. And you can donate in a variety of ways, right? If you don't feel like you can make a consistent commitment, a one-time donation is always welcome. But if you feel like you're able to give monthly consistently to the public radio station that you listen to, that you rely on, then become an Evergreen friend. And there's a specific extra bonus reason to do that today. Lee Auto Mall is offering $25 worth of Bumper Crop Farmers Market vouchers to all Evergreen friends who donate today. So this includes your new Evergreen support, signing up to give on a monthly basis, and the increase you make to your current monthly donation. So if you're already an Evergreen friend and can give us a little bit more, you know, get those $25 of farmer market vouchers, right? That doesn't hurt. And I think listening to this this wonderful Maine Calling episode about agricultural fairs, it reminds us just kind of about the agricultural nature of Maine and all the things that make this state unique. So give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 to support this programming.
And maybe you're somebody who's just traveling here, you're on vacation, you're passing through Maine, and it's one of these wonderful times. You're loving all of the agrarian nature and the beautiful views, the sea, the coast, the mountains. You're eligible to donate too, even if you also give to your home station in another state. We'd love to hear from you. Summer visitors, anybody who is maybe from Canada, anyone all around. We have donors from all over the country, and that is a wonderful way to support and show your commitment to Maine. And if you became a monthly sustainer, an Evergreen friend, you can take home a souvenir from Maine in one of these beautiful sea bags. These feature the coastal landscape, beautiful blues and greens, and it's painting that's wrapped around both sides of it. So give us a call, 1-800-866-1475, and your donation of $50 a month will get you that medium bag, or $60 a month for the large bag.
Yeah, so this is, again, an exciting time for Maine Public. Again, we're not going away, and we need your support to continue this service, these programs that you listen to, that you appreciate. Maybe you're tuning in right now because you love Maine Calling. You love this hour of the day. You know you're always going to get something different, something unique. There's so many things that we do here at Maine Public. This station is on all the time. You've got news. You've got everything you need. World, local, it's trusted. It's important to you, right? So support this. Support us in doing this. Support these conversations that we're having on Maine Calling and the work that we do here, the news that we produce. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 or visit us at mainepublic.org to donate. Be one of the people calling. I hear that ring. I love to hear that ring. You should be the next one. 1-800-866-1475. And yes, again, support the work that we do here. This is your community radio station. Even if you're just a visitor, now is the time. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475. Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Cindy Hahn, and you're listening to Maine Calling. We are learning all about Maine's agricultural fairs, why they're a big deal, and what they offer. Joining me are April Boucher, who is with the Common Ground Country Fair, Michelle Webb, she directs agricultural resource development for Maine, and Rachel Andrews-Damon is in charge of publicity and advertising for the Freiburg Fair. Join our conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post to a Facebook page or to Instagram. Again, the number for Maine Calling, 800-399-3566. Michelle, we've heard about some other variety of offerings at different fairs. So can you highlight any of the other fairs that you think have certain distinctive offerings or certain characteristics? I know there's some really small ones out there, some other big ones. Give us a sense of what else is available this season.
Yeah, there really is something for everyone at each fair. They all are unique, but some fairs that come to mind are the Blue Hill Fair and their Charlotte's Web interactive exhibit. It really celebrates the fair that E.B. White wrote about in the familiar children's book, Charlotte's Web. There's an opportunity to go and see that come to life, and that's really exciting for many families and children. The Cumberland County Fair is unique that it has an international horse and ox pull, so a bit of a competition with our neighbors to the north. So you'll see Canadian ox pulling and horse pulling versus the American style of pulling. We just heard from Rusty at the Piscataquis Valley Fair. I grew up right next to that fair, lots of memories there. Also attended Skowhegan in Bangor every year as a child too. But at the Piscataquis Valley Fair, fairgoers can see a working milking parlor, and that's been part of that fair for decades, but really updated and modernized over the years. So families can come and see the working milking parlor, and as always, taste some delicious Maine ice cream. And just each fair has a different food scene as well. And we heard about April and all the wonderful organic and Maine grown and harvested ingredients at the Common Ground Country Fair's food. So that food experience is very different amongst other fairs. And all fairs have delicious food of some variety, though.
And I love a lot of the activities are food oriented, like blueberry pie eating contest or, you know, apple crisp bake off and things like that. So pretty much every fair has those kinds of competitions as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And I mentioned earlier the Fields blueberry crisp recognized from Food Network. So these contests aren't just a local community excitement and celebration. They're going at the national level and recognizing Maine and boosting our food knowledge and tourism interest in all of those things just by sharing what happens at fairs in Maine with the bigger world.
Great. Calling in now is Joshua calling from Smithfield. Hi, Joshua. What did you want to talk about?
Hi. I just wanted to share I've been volunteering at the Common Ground Fair for over a decade, and it's been a really great experience. I look forward to it every year. And just really nice to, A, you know, you get to go into the fair without having to pay, and then you get to, it's for a good cause. You get a meal ticket for a really delicious meal. On Sunday, there's a volunteer raffle. It's been a wonderful experience the last, been doing it for at least 11 years.
Well, that's great, Josh. What kinds of work do you do as a volunteer then?
I do something a little different every year. I've done the parking, I've done compost and recycling, I've worked in the common kitchen, I've worked in the kids area, I've worked in the booth for selling the fair merchandise. So I bounce around.
That's what volunteers do. That's great. And April, talk about the role that volunteers play. I know it's a huge part of the fair.
Absolutely. We couldn't have the Common Ground Country Fair without our volunteers. And Joshua is this amazing example that comes back each year and really helps us welcome everyone and put on this amazing, vibrant fair. We actually need over 2,000 volunteers to really make the fair run. And supporting those volunteers is 200 planning team members who really lead and work throughout the year, crafting all of these wonderful areas, such as the children's area, such as DIY home hacks, such as the livestock area. They think about the fair all the time, and they really, that's why when fairgoers come, we're so excited to share all that we've worked on, all that we've gathered, and all that we're ready to share with fairgoers. And volunteers really make that run. We couldn't have the Common Ground Country Fair without our very valued volunteers.
Thanks, Joshua, for calling in. April, I just want to stay with you for a moment because I was picturing the tent where people are lined up long line at the Common Ground Country Fair for the T-shirts and the posters, because every year there's a new design and it's become a very hot item to have certain years or all of them or whatever. So talk about what that's all about and how you come up with those, the design each year.
Yes, this year we're very fortunate to have a design, Belgian Draft Horses by Catherine Noble Churchill out of Bar Harbor. And we do a poster contest every year where artists who are either in Maine or MOFCA members can submit their artwork digitally. Our planning team members, those are the ones who are our year-round volunteers and staff, also vote to say which they think would be the best representation of the fair, a great educational opportunity, and also help support our important work. And so we have two rounds of voting. It's always very spirited, like what do we want to put out there in the world? And then very thankfully, we have great artwork like Catherine's artwork. And so we're very excited. We actually have a membership pre-sale that is going on right now. So if you're a MOFCA member, you can actually order your shirts right now and you can pick them up at the fair and you don't have to wait in line. We do everything we can to make that line move as quickly as possible, but especially at peak times, it can be a little long. So there's the membership pre-sale, and like everything, getting there early is probably your best bet if you want to minimize your time in lines.
Well, that line happens to be, at least it was last year, it's next to the main public table. So, of course, if you're in line, you should stop by and take a look at all the goodies we always have there. Rachel, I wanted, we only have a little bit of time left, but if you look at the different fair websites and descriptions of what's happening at different fairs, there's some really interesting stuff going on that are very Maine. I think at least they're very Maine, like skillet throwing. And I mean, we heard about the pig scramble, but talk about some of that stuff that maybe reflects, some of the old time traditions that are still around today.
Well, the skillet throw is hugely popular, and that's totally a bragging rights thing. We have women that line up and come from all over New England and the country, really, to throw that skillet. I personally have never done it. I believe it weighs 9 pounds, and it's pretty hefty to wing that thing across a field and then be measured and do it in front of a grandstand full of people. But everybody loves it. And then we also have the anvil throw for men. And this year we're adding a beer keg toss. That's on our first Saturday. So people really enjoy those kinds of things. But we do have the pig scramble, and we ha also have a calf scramble. We have four pig scrambles, actually. And there's lots of Maine things going on everywhere.
And
It's just
I think
enjoyable.
harness racing, right? That's a really huge thing at the different fairs, and
Yeah,
as at the
harness racing.
Freiburg Fair too.
Yes, we have a half mile track, and it brings in racers from all over New England, and it's very enjoyable. A lot of people really like that. And again, that goes to gathering up your food and going to get your seat or bringing your lawn chairs and just spending the afternoon. So it starts at 1:30 most of the days, and noon on the final Sunday.
And I'll wrap up with you, Michelle, telling us a little more about those things that are featured at fairs that are very Maine that maybe you wouldn't find in other states. And I'm thinking some of them are just those old-fashioned activities that involve the public, like three-legged races or quilt, making together. Anything that comes to mind that you want to share with everybody?
Yeah, definitely those New England experiences. We were just talking about harness racing. There's seven fairs that offer harness racing, but really the unique Maine foods are what come to mind for me. The whoopie pies, we heard about Moxie even was originated in Maine, wild blueberries, and all the delicious Maine foods that we celebrate at the fair.
Yeah, so poutine sometimes makes its way over, right? What else are your favorites?
Go to a fair without a doughboy. You do need to walk around and look at the fair and go in all the barns and walk that off, but delicious.
Well, wonderful. Thank you all for joining us today. Michelle Webb is Director of Agricultural Resource Development at the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Rachel Andrews Damon does publicity and advertising for the Freiburg Fair. And April Boucher is Director of MOFCA's Common Ground Country Fair. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Tomorrow on the show, how to preserve memories. We'll find out what to do with those family heirlooms and keepsakes. I'm Cindy Hahn, and you've been
Maine
listening to
call.
Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Hello, you are listening to Maine Public Radio, and this is our August summer fundraiser. This is your time to support this free service that Maine Public provides to you, this radio station that you're listening to right now. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475. My name is Maddie Smith. I'm a member of the news team here. I'm here with my colleague Alfred. He works on our radio transmission team. Without Alfred, we would not be listening on air right now. So he's critical here to Maine Public. Support Alfred, support all the work he does, support the news that you care about, that you listen to, that's important to you, that you rely on truly. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 or visit us online at mainepublic.org to donate.
And we could not do what we do without my team. We have a wonderful team of transmission engineers who fan out across the state every day, from Fort Kent, Sanford, Callis, Millinocket. We go all over because we have sites there. We have transmitter sites with towers to bring you the broadcasting, the news, the classical, the television that you love. It's a team effort, and you're part of the team too. We rely on your support as a supporter of Maine Public Broadcasting, and that donation that you give allows us to bring this service, these various things that you know and love, to all these different corners of Maine. So give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 or go online at mainepublic.org and show how much this means to you.
Yeah, give us a call, 1-800-866-1475. And there's some bonus reasons to do that today and right now. So as you know, in our summer fundraisers, we typically have that sea bag offering that you look forward to. And this one is, it's fantastic, you guys. I'm looking at them right now. We have them in two sizes this year, medium and large. And it features original and exclusive art by Maine artist Eric Hopkins. It's this beautiful coastal watercolor. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's fantastic. And again, for the first time ever in two sizes, this large bag, you could throw everything in there. Like a beach day for a family, all the stuff you need could fit in this bag. So you need it, really, you do. It's summertime in Maine, you need the bag. So give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 to get the medium bag. It's $50 a month or $600 annually, or for the large bag, $60 a month, $720 annually. If you want to see more, see what the bag looks like, if my description wasn't quite vivid enough, go to mainepublic.org to look at pictures and to donate, or go to our wonderful social media. I know our social media team has been featuring it heavily. So give us a call at 1-800-866-1475. Make this beautiful sea bag yours.
It's a beautiful bag, and you'd be well suited to show it off, show off your support for Maine Public. But maybe you want something else. Maybe you want a hat or a shirt or a mug or something like that. We have all kinds of thank you gifts online at mainepublic.org. You can check out and see how you can represent your support for Maine Public. Even bring it back if you live in another state. You can show your Maine swag off in another place. Maybe you've never donated before. You've always listened. You've felt like this is something that other people need to do. But now is the time to dig in and give that gift that you believe this service is worth to you. We need your support now more than ever with the elimination of federal funding. We serve to lose $5 million over the next 2 years. And we know that the good people of Maine really support this organization. And we're going to keep doing everything we can to bring you all of the content, all of the services that we do. And it's with your support that we can do that. So please pick up the phone, dial 1-800-866-1475. And donate in the amount that you feel that this service is worth to you. This is something that we provide for you, and we love to do it, and it's with your support that we're able to do it. Go online at mainepublic.org or at 1-800-866-1475.
Yeah, as Alfred mentioned, it's a scary time for public media, but we want you to know this is not the end. This is a new beginning. Help us continue to provide this service. We love working here, right? We love the work that we do, and support us in doing it. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475 or visit us at mainepublic.org. I'm a member of the news team. It is truly a joy and a privilege to report on this state and all the happenings here. I love talking to Mainers about the fascinating things that are happening here, and help me do that. Help our news team contribute and create the news that we do, that you listen to, that you rely on. Give us a call at 1-800-866-1475.
And we also want to thank Marianne from Raymond, who's increased their current sustaining member gift. Thank you very much for that. As somebody who's increased their gift, they're getting bumper crop farmer vouchers from $25, thanks to Lee Auto Malls. All Evergreen friends that donate today will get those vouchers mailed to them. You can go to the farmers markets all around the state, various fairs and things like you've just heard on Maine Calling, and utilize those there. It's a great benefit, just another reason to become an Evergreen supporter today.